Blog Talk Radio.
Madam Perry coming to you here on Madam Perry Salon, here in the wonderful world of Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening live, good to see you. Would you please click on the little follow tab there on your screen, if you've got that. Thank you very much. And if you're not listening live, well, then you probably know this is a podcast you can listen to after the live version. And it's also downloadable on iTunes at no cost, in case I have a guest that you really like or a show you really enjoy, and you can listen to it again. I do hope you enjoy them, and I try to bring somebody different every time. You know, Madam Perry Salon began as a blog, and I usually have a couple of people on because in the blog, the salon idea came about from the old literary and cultural salons of Europe and Asia and England back in the days when there would always be a patroness who would have authors, musicians, artists all come together once or twice a week, hang out. They probably drank a lot and talked and shared their work, what they were reading. I believe C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien met at one of those type salons in England, and I like that feel of a conversational style. So that was how the blog started, and it's still going on Blog Talk. On Blogspot. You can get that. And I wanted this to be Madam Perry's Salon as well, because I like to have, if I don't have an extra guest to talk with, I like to have people call in and ask questions. I want you to feel that, you know, you can step into our living room here, or as one guest said, it reminded him more of the inside of Jeannie's bottle and from I Dream of Jeannie. But come on in. That's a nice guest. You know, I love music. I love all kinds of music, but I do have a fondness for British pop, 60s music, rock and roll. And I met the drummer, Colin White. He's the drummer for Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. I met him on Facebook, actually, and got to be good friends there. Now, thought we were going to have Joe on tonight as well, but Joe had some matters to attend to. So, doesn't matter. As long as you got the drummer, you got the rhythm section right there. And that'll keep things going. However, I'm waiting for the drummer now. Colin White, if you're going to call into the show, give me a call now. I think he's going to Skype in. So, Colin, if you're listening, we're waiting on you here. And while we do that, I'm going to go ahead and play a song from the new album. Oh, and this is another thing I like. You've got to look up this band. If you're looking at this live, or you're looking at this on, you see, I've got here where it says Joe Symes and the Loving Kind, I've got it linked to their website. I love how the cover of their album or CD looks just, it's just perfect throwback to the 60s kind of albums that just, you just look at it and you think, oh, that's a 60s band and it is brand new. And so, yeah, you got to do that. Follow their website. And see that. And right now, I'm going to play a song. You know, I was thinking about, you know, sometimes songs, and my co-producer, Kenya, and I were talking about this earlier. There are some songs that you listen to, as soon as they come on the radio, I don't care how many times you've heard them, as soon as they come on the radio, or if they come on somewhere at the club, or wherever you listen, the second you hear it, just from the first or second sound, or note, or beat, you feel like you're at the party. I mean, you can see the party. I don't care if you're driving down the expressway, whatever. You are at the party. Like one of them is Keep On Dancing, Marvin Gaye. Because you hear the people, and you hear that driving bass, and you hear that folks talking, and you know. You can walk in that door, and you know where everything is. You know where the food is, you know where the hussy's at that's going to be after your man all night, you know where the liquor is, you have... Oh, was that where I met you, Kenya? Okay, so yeah, I think I touched a nerve over here with Kenya. And another one, I think, and oh gosh, what if I get this wrong, I think it was Here Comes My Baby by the, I believe it was the Standells. It's got that kind of, you feel like you're just sort of like hanging out with the band listening to it, and while they're going on and talking and rocking. I don't know. But you hear the people. And there are some songs that you feel that way with. That's exactly how I felt when I first heard Falling Down. And that's not falling. It's fallen. F-A-L-L-E-N. Falling Down from Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. And so I'm going to play that for you right now.
Going round.
All right. I had to sit back down. We were doing a Kenya and I like something where we can just stop, take the headphones off, and get up and dance. So that was Falling Down. And I believe I have Mr. Colin White on the line. Colin, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. It's so good to hear your voice.
And it's so good to hear your voice as well.
Thank you. Did I sound like you thought I would?
Yes. I mean that in a nice way. I mean that in the most complimentary way.
Oh, I know. I'm sure you do. You know, because that's what I was teasing earlier. I think Joe had put something on when I made a comment about to one of your fans about we might need subtitles. And I believe it was Joe that said, oh, you'd be surprised. We're quite, you know, polite and well-spoken on the air. And that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about your accent, my southern accent. Are people going to have any idea what's going on? So, but I am just delighted to hear your voice. And, you know, I was telling people, we met on Facebook.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, a while ago. Sorry?
I can't remember how long ago that was. How long ago was that?
It might have been just a couple of years, because maybe a couple of years ago. And I think the reason we connected on Facebook was just similar taste in music and knowing the same people that like the same kind of music.
I think it was, yeah, because it seems longer than what it was, but I think it was only in the past, say, about 2 years, maybe two and a half maximum, if that. But yeah, and we finally got on the show.
Finally, well, this is only the third show, so yeah, you finally got on it. I had a show before, but this is a totally brand new one, so I wanted all the good people up front to help build an audience.
Oh, of course. Well, it's all fresh, all new.
Really? And so far, each one's been very different. And so now you're the only one of the group that's going to be joining me tonight. What did you do? Leave them, lock them in a room somewhere? You didn't want the competition?
No.
I know how you showbiz types are. You know, it's like, oh, he didn't get the call. I'm so sorry. So let's talk about me.
Showbiz types? I'm not a showbiz type. I'm a very modest person. We're all very modest people. Joe sent his apologies. He couldn't make it. I'm not sure what Chris and Paul are up to, actually. I think they might be... I don't know. But if they're listening, hello. But yes, Joe sent his apologies. And I can safely say that neither me, Joe, Chris or Paul are showbiz types. We're actually very down-to-earth people, and I mean that sincerely.
Okay, good. All right. And I know you think of just ribbing you a little bit, and I'm sorry I'm sorry Joe couldn't make it, and I'm sorry he had something that stopped him. You know, I was concerned at first that it might have been something I said.
Oh, by the way, just to clarify something, that was me who replied that message saying our diction's very good on radio.
Oh, yeah, I knew what it meant.
That was me. That was Joe. It was me. That was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, it was me,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that was you. So, all right. Well, there you go. And, all right, so now we're here. So what time is it? It's about midnight for you?
Yeah, it's just nearly a quarter past 12.
And you're in Liverpool?
Yes, I was born here, and I'm still here at the moment.
Okay, and I'm in Atlanta, as you know, Georgia. Have you been here? You've got to cut. You said your brother's been through Atlanta.
Yeah. My brother said he briefly stopped at Atlanta Airport once on his way to Las Vegas. He said it was very, very, very busy. He said it was the only airport he went to that had an underground train system.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it's an international airport in Atlanta. It's a pretty big, got a lot going on here. You guys should really come over here and play.
Oh,
seriously.
We'd love to, because, you know, we speak to so many people in America, both on stations and through magazines, and just people who we correspond to on Facebook and on the internet. And everyone keeps saying, you know, you've got to come over, and we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. We'll get there soon.
Okay, well, anything Madam Perry can do to help, just let me know. So, yeah, you know, I've already played Fallen Down, and I don't know if you were listening, but I was saying that it's one of those songs that I had to start with that, because it's one of those songs that as soon as you hear it, you feel like you're at the party. You know?
Yeah.
Like Keep On Dancing, Marvin Gaye. As soon as you hear that, you feel like you've walked in the party, you know, and the same with this.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's the sound effect at the beginning of the song, isn't it? Where it's like
yes, with the crowd, the club. It does. It starts with the sound effects, but then it keeps on but then the music, you know, just kind of keeps you rocking. So we have to. I'm going to ask the usual questions first. How did you guys? Oh, first of all, tell me the names of everyone in the band and what they do. So for the people that you're new to.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's Joe Symes. He is the singer and the principal songwriter of the band, and he plays guitar and harmonica. And there is also myself. I'm Colin White. Hello. I play the drums, percussion. I do backing vocals, and I'm a bit of an ideas person too. There's also Mr. Paul Hetherington. He's the lead guitar player, and we've also got, last but certainly not least, Mr. Chris Giblin, and he is the bass player and also does backing vocals, and he's the band party animal as well.
All right. So how'd you guys meet? You've been together, what, about 3-4 years?
We've only been a full band for 2 years now. It's exactly 2 years now. We basically got together. Me and Joe have known each other for a very long time. We've been friends for many, many years when we were in different bands, and we've always, you know, get together, and, you know, we're very good friends. And obviously, the band I was in, that split, and what Joe was doing at the time, he wasn't too happy with. So we went. He actually went and done a few acoustic gigs solo on his own, and after a couple of months of him doing that, I actually gave him a call and said, you know, how's it going with that? He said, it's going great. And I said, look, you know, what I've just been in has ended, and, you know, if you need any drums recorded in the studio or maybe some percussion live, I'll help out. And he said, oh, absolutely, sure, definitely. So for a few months, it was just me and Joe just doing acoustic gigs around Liverpool. And then after a while, we just thought, you know, let's get a full band together. We found Paul through a mutual friend, and Chris replied to an ad that I put on one of the websites for auditioning band members, and we haven't looked back since.
All right. I'm glad. I'm glad that you guys all came together, because you have such a you just work so well. You know, there's sometimes it's you get that right pairing and it locks in, and just the energy feels it. And it's like I said, you know, I like to listen to live music, and, you know, I've had bands, my husband's had bands. It's something like when you got that right mix, the audience feels it, and they just seem to rise up and get the energy and send it right back. I know that might sound all kind of woo-woo esoteric, but, you know, people that love music know that feeling. And when the band just all seems to lock in, it's like you're telepathic, aren't you? You feel like you know where everybody's going. You know, it's like you've got – sometimes when my husband and I get together, he says he wishes he had a USB cable to go into my head so I would know what's coming up next, but I never do. But but you know, that's because I'm a chick singer, and you know the chick singer jokes, don't you?
Go on. What are they?
How do you know when there's a chick singer at the door?
How?
They can't find the key and don't know when to come in.
Oh, We know many female singers, and they're wonderful. They're fantastic. So that's a bit strong.
That's okay. I won't tell you the drummer jokes I learned from my drum teacher.
I know the drummer jokes, and they're absolute nonsense.
I find them so, too. I find them nonsense. I think this comes from jealousy. That's where the drummer jokes come from, jealousy.
It's like there's one that I heard about, you know, how do you know when it's something like, you know, how do you know there's a drummer knocking at the door because they always speed up? Something like that. My reply to actually a lot of these drummer jokes are, and obviously, you know, yourself, you know, we both of us have got a very broad taste in music, you know. I always say, you know, would you have said that to Gene Krupa? Would you have said that to Buddy Rich? Would you have said that to those guys? You would not have dared said that to any of those people, you know, Chick Webb, Max Roach, you know, they would have just went, I beg your pardon. Get out, you know, and they were first class players. You know, you would not have dared said that. So,
that's right. Chick Webb, Louis Belson, none of those people you'd say that to.
Oh, because I think you get a firm telling off.
That's true. In fact, did you ever see the movie The Gene Krupa Story?
With Sal Mineo.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it. I watched it with my dad a long time ago. I haven't seen it for many, many years, but Gene actually taught Sal a few of his chops to get him into the role.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know that. But, you know, Anita O'Day sings a song in that movie. And, you know, they all get together with Benny Goodman for a while. And I got to know Anita in the last few years of her life, and I used to sometimes go to her gigs in New York and San Francisco and work her merchandise table for her.
Really? You met Anita O'Day?
Well, she's passed away now, but...
You knew her?
Yes.
Wow.
And...
I'm so jealous.
Listen, it was quite a shock to me. And it was like the good and the bad news was that when I found her, it was after the 9/11 incident here, so... no one wanted to fly, so every time she had something going on, I just take a day, you know, get a vacation day from work, and you could get a round trip ticket to New York from Atlanta for $120, and then stay with friends out there, or a hotel. A nice hotel would be $50 a night. That's now $200 a night. So, I couldn't pass up the chance. I just could not pass it up.
That's a great story to tell. You know, you've actually met this all-time great singer, especially from that period too. That's quite an achievement. Well done.
I felt so. And there was a couple of guys, though, a couple of brothers from London, that were over there playing with her for a while and worked on her last CD, the Fishwick, Matt and Steve Fishwick. And so yeah, I got to meet them as well. But anyway, let's get back to you.
Yes.
And the Loving Kind. How did the name The Loving Kind come about?
Well, as I said, me and Joe started working together just as an acoustic duo. Now, already in such a short amount of time, because obviously that was before the whole band, it was still just under Joe's name, Joe Sines. Basically, he's already done a lot of, this is literally within a few months as well, he's done a lot of magazine interviews and already started to do one or two international radio sessions as well as locally. Now, he said to me when we were auditioning people, he said, because of what we've built up, he said, we can't exactly go out there as, we're now under the something or this just a band name, because we'd have to go, well, we're that band who he's in, and that's, it'd just be too complicated. So what I said, it was my suggestion, that I said, well, why don't we go under, I don't know, like something classic, like Joe Sines and the something, like a Dinah Ross and the Supremes or Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or something like that. And he was like, yeah. And I think the first thing that popped to my head, where it came from, and it might have been like a band name that I suggested for an old band from years ago that got rejected, but it just, who rolled off the tongue. I said, well, what about Joe Samson, the loving kind? And we were at a gig and we were watching a friend of ours playing, and I sort of said it to him, and he sort of sat there for about, well, sorry, he stood there for a second and thought about it, and he went, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And that was it. Now, the name The Loving Kind, actually, the actual name did come from a lyric. It was a lyric from the song called Get Up by R.E.M. And that's where it subconsciously came from. And basically, it stuck after the weekend. It soaked in to see if it thought, that may be okay, but maybe well, I might change it. And after the weekend, he said, yeah, that's great, we'll go with that. And that's the first band name I've ever come up with, and I'm very proud of it.
Oh, that's a great story. And yeah, you should be proud of it.
I am.
Yeah, that's what when I was telling my co-producer here, Kenya, I said, she says, what's the band? I said, The Loving Kind. You know, they're not the fighting kind, they're the loving kind.
Oh, yes, what? It just rolls off the tongue, the name Joe
Yes,
Sam. It just sounds right, it just sounds good.
It does. And speaking of sound good, I want to play another song.
Okay.
And what I have up here is I'm going to find out someday.
I'm going to find out someday.
All right. Someday by Joe Symes and The Loving Kind. And I have the drummer, Colin White, right here on the line. All the way from Liverpool. Colin, did you go out for a sandwich or are you still here?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you, sorry. I just wanted to let you finish speaking before I spoke.
Such a gent. So, before we go any further, I want to make sure people know that you guys are all hooked up on all the good social media. You're on Facebook?
Yes.
You have two Facebook pages, don't you? One in the UK and
We have our official Facebook page, and we've also got a US fan page, which again, some of your fellow American friends of ours kindly set up for us, which was absolutely fantastic. So big thanks to them once again, everyone out there. And yeah, we're also on Twitter. You can also find us on a site called Fifth of Talent, Reverb Nation, and our own official website, which is www.joesigns.co.uk. And we're also find us on iTunes as well.
Okay, and if anybody didn't get that written down, all you have to do is, you know, up here on the screen, if you're looking at it, if you're watching this live or watching the podcast or listen to it, I've got the link to their website up here. And you can also just go click in there too, which is Joe Symes, S-Y-M-E-S, and The Loving Kind. Okay. Oh, and we've got a question here. Listen, I've got one of my favorite people that he doesn't call in. He texts in a question. His name is David Hurley, and he's a writer, poet, and he has a magazine called Subtlety. That's S-U-B-T-L-E-T-E-A. And he has a question. He's got a few. Oh, no, he doesn't. It says, I consider drummers and bassists to be the most important components of powerful bands. Drummers especially. The drummer of the band, yes, of the Police, of Rush, of the Who, even Richie Ramone of the Ramones, you name them. You mentioned Krupa, and there's Chick Webb, Joe Morello. Oh, I went to a drum clinic with Joe Morello. Elvin Jones, Rashid Ali, Idris Muhammad, jazz is where it's at. Who are some more of your favorite drummers, and which ones, for you, Colin, were the most influential?
Ah, good question. Very good question. To start off with, the main person who actually made me become a drummer was John Densmore from The Doors. If it wasn't for that man, I would not be playing drums. Now, obviously, after that, I would definitely consider Ringo Starr to be a fantastic, a very underrated drummer. Some people give Ringo a bit of a criticism, but I think that's absolutely nonsense. I think that Ringo was a very creative and wonderful drummer for the Beatles. I like so many drummers. I love John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. Love Keith Moon, Ginger Baker. Some contemporary drummers, some of my favourites of recent. There's a guy out there called Darryl Jones. Now, Darryl Jones plays for Jack White. He's a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. He's phenomenal. And there's another, because Jack White has two bands. He has a female band and a male band. And obviously, Darryl plays for the male band. And the drummer for the female band is a drummer called Carla Azar. And she's great. She's dressed very eccentric, but she's very, very powerful. And I also love Paul McCartney's drummer at the moment. I think it's Abe Laborial Jr. He's another amazing powerhouse. Apart from that, who are we talking about? I love people like Ian Paice from Deep Purple, Bill mm-hmm. Ward from Black Sabbath. The list is absolutely endless.
Yeah, and David just added in Densmore, of course. He's one of the best, and Nick Mason is underrated too. So, yeah, that's the thing.
Nick Mason is underrated, very much so.
And who was this other? You said Carla. What was her last name? Who was she play with? I don't.
Carla Azar. She is one of the drummers for Jack White.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And because when I think about it, right now, the first name that comes to my mind, I know it's because she's popular and all, but I love Cindy Blackman.
Okay.
And you know, the first time I saw her was on the Lenny Kravitz, I think it's "Are You Gonna Go My Way" video, where he's dressed like Jim Morrison.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, she's very
so
cool.
She's like,
yeah.
See her on there. And then, you know, then she went to play with Carlos Santana, and then she toured with him, and then he proposed on stage during a gig.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Really?
So,
wow.
I know.
Even,
you know, my mother, like I said, growing up, my mother was a rocker. My dad liked country music, but my mother would always wanted to go out and hear Evans Kids Should Drag Us anywhere there was a live rock band playing. And so, yeah, even she called me up and like, and who's that girl that plays drums with Carlos Santana? You know, she likes to keep up with that a lot. So, now what kind of drums do you play? What kind of set kit do you have?
I use Ludwig drums and Zildjian cymbals, classic.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I would use any other make. Maybe Gretsch drums. Gretsch drums are cool, but for me it's Ludwig. Ludwig, a classic, timeless, and Zildjian cymbals all the way. Just a classic setup with a bass drum, snare, two toms, hi-hats, loud cymbal, two crashes. Classic, simple, straight to the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get the job done. You don't need all that. Sport. What was the thing that people used to have? That, what they call the spinning toms? And all that.
They were called rotor toms. You could spin them like clockwise and anti-clockwise to tune them higher or lower. I think Nick Mason did use them on the song Time from Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. And that was quite effective, but I bought a set once, but I had no use for them, so I just sold them. Yeah.
That's true. That's pretty good. So now, do you have, are you sponsored by anyone, any company?
No, not yet. I would love to be sponsored. So if Ludwig or Zildjian or Vic Firth Styx are out there.
I was about to ask you, what Styx do you use? Vic Firth?
Vic Firth, yeah. So if anyone out there, check the stuff out and sponsor me.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk to them. I have a Vic Firth rolling pin, believe it or not.
Yes, you posted that a while ago, and I commented saying that is really, really cool. A Vic Firth rolling pin?
Yeah, because I was trying to find something that was made in the USA, and I found Vic Firth of all, rolling pin. So, you know, it was balanced. I rolled it on the table. And
that is amazing. Vic Firth make rolling pins. That is absolutely amazing. I want one. I want one.
All right, we'll have to find one for you. Okay, I think I'm going to play another song right now. And the song is, are you still with me? I thought I had lost a little audio there for a moment.
I'm here.
Okay, good. I think it's on my end. All right. I think Kenya's going to prop it up with my Corgi or something because my USB going in here. So, the song is Things Get Better.
Yes, and that's our new single.
Yeah, your new single. Okay.
Yes,
all right, folks, from Joe Symes and the Loving Kind, a new single, Things Get Better.
I see.
All right. Things get better. Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. Sorry, I know I had a little bit of dead air coming back in, but, you know, I'm not kidding. If you had a camera on us, you'd see whenever we like the music, Kenya and I stop, we take off our headphones and we get up and dance. And then sometimes we don't make it back in time. So, you know, it's just a testimony to your music, Colin.
That's okay. It's allowed. Dance and dance away. It doesn't matter. It's a bit of a, if they're there, it's okay. We're allowing it. You're enjoying it.
Thank you.
It's all about. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what it's all about.
I'm glad you said that. That makes us feel very good. So see, it's going to be even better when we get you here into your Southeastern U.S. tour. So now, who does most of the writing?
Joe is the principal songwriter of the band. But, what happens is he'll write the song pretty much complete. He'll sit there and play it on an acoustic guitar. I'm usually the first to hear it. I usually hear it if he either comes round here to my house or I speak to him on Skype and he goes, oh, I've got a new song. I go, okay. It's like, is it finished? He goes, not quite, but nearly. So a few days might go by and he goes, oh, I finished that song. So he'll say, do you want to hear it? I go, of course. So he'll play it to me and then I'll go, okay. It's a bit like this, bit like that. Oh, I've got some ideas for it already. Or he might say, well, I've got a little bit of an idea here, there. But then he'll present it to the band, and obviously it's like a canvas. So the picture will be there, but we colour it in. We put our things to it, we put our little things to it, you know. Even though he might have an idea for the guitar idea or the drum idea or a bass line idea, and if he might go, well, I've got a bit of an idea for the bass line there. He might say that to Chris, for example, and he might say, oh, try that, and if you can better that, and he'll go, okay. Or he might go, oh, well, I can take that idea and play it like this, and you go, oh, even better. And same goes for me, and Paul, so it can go either way, but basically you'll come with the song, and we'll colour it in, and it always comes out great. Yeah.
Colour it in, I like that. Yeah. So tell me, you know, don't want to do all this name dropping, but you guys got some names to drop, some legit name dropping cred. I saw that you were opened for, you headlined the after show party for Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
Yes, that was the second gig we've done as a full band. It was basically just me and Joe, but the people we had at the time, it was a kind of an embryonic version of the band. It was before the others came on board, so that was one gig we've done with just a fill-in bass player and the guitarist, because we wanted to do it as a full band and not acoustically. So we've done that, and that obviously established the name, and then they done their thing, and then it was just after that that we got Chris and Paul, and then we've done many, many other... supported it. A guy called Steve Craddock, who's the guitarist of Paul Weller, and he's also
I know who Steve Craddock is. Yeah.
We supported him, but that was as us, as the finalised lineup. And we've also just been, again, travelled around the country, played many festivals. We recently played a gig for a guy called Alan McGee. Alan McGee owned Creation Records. He signed Oasis and many other bands. We played a gig for him recently in Wales. And before that, we've done a few gigs for him in Liverpool, but the most recent gig was an acoustic gig for him in Wales. And it was in a little converted church. It was in South Wales that him and his wife have bought and do little shows in. The place was sold out, and it was a brilliant Easter weekend. It was absolutely fantastic. And obviously we'll be doing more things for him in the future as well. So, you know, we're mingling with so many local people, people of note, and many other people as well. Everything's going absolutely amazing, and in such a short amount of time as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say, such a short amount of time. And yet, I mean, you know, you guys are banging. You're phenomenal, but that's still quite a coup, you know, for the right band to get in with the right connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, between gigs, like ourselves, either individually or collectively, with our manager Ian, we go out and see other bands and mingle with people, and you know, you move in the right circles.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the right direction. You mingle with the right people. You get to know them on a personal level. You get on with them as professionally or and even as friends. And there's many, many people in Liverpool and nationally as well, and even internationally, that we mingle with and speak to. And you know, we're moving in the right direction. So things are really going for upwards and onwards.
Well, yes, as I was saying, you know, obviously, you know, you guys, I mean, you turn your eye on your CD, smoking. I love it. But still, there's a lot of good people that don't get the connections you got, and then some that aren't. But as you know, I'm an entertainment publicist, and there's been a lot of times when I haven't wanted to work with musicians because I've had some come that they don't want to do that. They think they're above that. I've had a couple, not everybody, I know that, but a couple of them that have come to me wanting me to work for them, they just didn't want to get out and meet people. They just didn't want to wait and have everybody do things for them. I go, look, you got to get out. You got to mingle. You got to care about somebody else. Don't just wait until you want something and then go introduce yourself. You know, just talk to people. See who you can meet. See who you can help. And that's one thing you were saying. Okay, Steve Craddock, you said you supported him. What do you mean? You opened for his band?
It was during one of his solo tours.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember how we got it. I think it was through a promoter. Now I remember now. It was off the back of the Noel Gallagher after show party. I think it was the same promoter who'd done that said, oh, would you like to do this? And we were like, yeah, sure, of course. You know, wouldn't. So we've done that and things have gone from there. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, if you're in a band or you're in this similar type of industry, then you've got to go out there and say, you know, hello, here we are, we're this, and, you know, and mingle and speak to people. You can't just have this cocky attitude before you've done mm-hmm. anything and sort of go, oh, well, we're too good for that. You must come to us. No, you go out there and you say, hello, here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why, you know, I pretty much cut ties to people. Look, if you can't work it, if you can't care about somebody else, they're not going to care about you, that's for sure. So, and you know, Steve Craddock, now he and his wife, Sally, plays with him sometimes, doesn't she?
Yeah, I believe she was playing keyboards at the time.
Yeah, they both seem like nice people, Steve and Sally.
Oh, yeah, great people. I didn't speak to him, I think I said hello to her briefly, but I spoke to Steve and I spoke to some members of his solo band, but from what I remember, it was a really, really good night, and he played great, and everyone played great. It was a really, really good night. Again, it feels like such a long time ago, even though it wasn't. But again, so much has happened since then. You know, the first album has mm-hmm. been out since then. We've got this new single coming out. We played around universities and all around the country. As well as doing this show here, we've done many, many radio shows in America, and apparently, according to some of our American friends, we've got some Hollywood actors who are fans of the band. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Matthew.
Drop
Modine,
some names, Colin. Drop some names.
I've been told Matthew Modine is a fan of the band. He was in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
I've been told. These two I've spoke to. I sort of spoke to personally. There was an actress called Robin Waite. She played Calamity Jane in the show Deadwood. And she was in Sons of Anarchy as well. Apparently, she's got our album. There's a guy called Michael Shiflett, who is an actor and a musician. He was in Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis and a film called Killing Kennedy, which is about the Kennedy assassination. I've spoke to him personally on Facebook, and he's a great guy, and he loves our stuff. Someone told me that Michael Keaton apparently has heard some of our songs and said, oh, they're a good band. I've heard that somewhere as well, so we're not complaining at all.
You're definitely on an upward trajectory, and, you know, I think you've certainly got the talent, and you've certainly got the, I don't think it could happen, you know, to nicer guys. Now, Steve and Sally, I know I'm friends with on Facebook as well. And it's Mace. And Steve has agreed to write a comment or a small part in a book I'm putting out about on self-promotion for musicians. So maybe you should add a page in there too as well, if you would.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure. I'm sure, collectively could come up with something.
Yeah, I'd love that. So we'll talk about that later. Now, I do have a couple more things to ask, and then I've got a little problem. We've only got 5 minutes left, and I am just thoroughly enjoying talking with you. So right here in front of everybody, would you agree to come back again sometime?
Yes, I'll definitely come back, but obviously next time it will be with me and Joe. We will definitely come back next time. We'll come back a million times.
Okay, because I mean I don't want you guys getting all off on your Hollywood friends and forgetting about Madam Perry.
Oh, that's ridiculous. We're modest people. We make it for anybody, and that's a promise. That is a promise from the heart.
Okay, I believe it because you're the loving kind. So, what have you got coming up here? See, you've got the new album, you've got the single. I have bought all of it on iTunes, and I love it. I've got a couple things that just play over and over and over. And there's a couple songs though. I don't know. People. I know that people always ask about your influences. There was one song. I'm trying to remember which one it is that has a bit of a Kinks influence to it.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Fine Line.
Fine Line, yes, indeed. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, this is quite funny because the first album, technically speaking, we only play about two songs from that first album at the moment, because I was actually speaking about this recently. That first album, I consider like a resume. It's like, here's the band, here's our introduction, this is all the different things that we can do, expect the unexpected. Now, you might have noticed from the two new tracks that you've played, I'm Gonna Find Out Someday and the new single, Things Get Better. We've actually, at this very moment, we're actually going through a very, very heavy phase. We've gone very, very heavy. The acoustic guitar has been discarded and it's all electric. Now, even though the songs can still be played on their own on an acoustic guitar, the band, again, at this present time, has just gone really, I'd call like heavy pop.
Mhm.
I'd say so. That's the phase that we've just gone through now, and obviously with the new single, that's the first example. But that single is not going to be on the next album. The next album, we've started demoing songs for the next album, and that'll be started properly next year. So that's like a taster for the next one. So the next album might just be one big out and out rocker of an album, and then after that, who knows, we can do anything, and I'm not afraid to say that.
All right, well, listen, I've got 2 minutes and 17 seconds left. First of all, everyone, thank you. If you're listening live, thank you for listening. I've been talking with Colin White, the drummer for Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. And if you're listening at the podcast or later, you've downloaded it, remember, you can click on the link to Joe Symes and Loving Kind. I've got a link to their website here, and you can go find out where they're going to be playing. You can find what their social media things to hook up are. You can find just about anything you want to know about them. You can buy their music, which, believe me, you want to do. And, these are the days where you can just buy individual songs, not a whole album. Well, let me tell you, of all the whole things, there's not a clunker in the batch. They're all good. So I'm going to go out with Fallen Down. It was the one we started with. And, Colin, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Delighted. This has just been like a party in itself. So I'll have you back soon with the whole band or with Joe, just whomever, or come back by yourself. This has been fun. And thank you. And everyone, get out there and see them. Have a good time. Get the music. And your parting word, Colin?
Thanks, and see you all soon.
All right. See you soon. Thank you for listening to Madam Perry Salon.